The Gates of Horn and Ivory, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 7. Behind the Bronze Gates. There was much sound and fury in Hades' chambers the next morning, the clamour of many people speaking in anger, and above them all Persephone recognised the voice of Zeus. She got dressed in a hurry and sneaked into the anteroom of the large conference hall where Hades was involved in some very heated negotiations with an entire delegation of Olympians, which, as an extraordinary circumstance, included Zeus himself. "We're doing everything in our power to retrieve him safely. As I told you, no effort is being spared. But how was it possible, brother? I thought you ruled this kingdom supreme. Just command your minions to deliver him at the gates. If the Hecaton Heres were commandable, you wouldn't need to keep them in Tartarus. They're trained to some degree," Hades replied, "but definitely don't exhibit the level of obedience you seem to expect. So, you're telling me there is no hope and you can't do anything about this? Quite the opposite, brother. I just told you every effort is being made."
"Yeah.
That means you can't do anything about it. I'm so disappointed in you, Hades. I entrusted you with the fate of one of our finest, and now he's lost in Tartarus with no expectations of rescue. Well, mighty Ares negotiated his way out of Tartarus before. Hades didn't miss the opportunity to push a dart into the giant balloon of godly wrath which kept inflating under his eyes, still bitter about the disrespect the god of war had shown him by trespassing into his domain without asking for his permission. He had vowed that slight wouldn't remain without a response, and the opportunity had just presented itself. I'm confident, considering his valor, that, if need be, he could do it again. I can only hope that is not your working strategy," Zeus retorted, appalled, growing tenser by the minute. There was no point in trying to put pressure on Hades, who could be more unrelenting than Tartarus itself if provoked, so, loathed as he was to ask for favors, he swallowed his pride and tried to find a friendlier approach. "Of course not," Hades appeased him. "Search parties are combing the pits in all directions as we speak. Don't worry, we'll find him. But how do you even lose a god in Tartarus, Hades?" Zeus couldn't relent. "How is that possible? Weren't the two of you together when it happened? Well, you know Typhon, he's playful. He thought it would be funny and by the time he grabbed him, it was too late for any of us to react. I'm so sorry, I take full responsibility for this. For all the good it does me.
I don't need your responsibility.
I need Ares. There's a war threatening in Troy as we speak, the Achaeans are champing at the bit for battle, Aphrodite snubbed my wife and stole Paris's devotion from her, and Hera won't let me have any peace until I show the Trojans who's boss. You know about wives, and how you need to keep them happy, Hades," he entreated. He had decided to try a different approach, lest your life becomes rather unpleasant.
"Don't worry, brother. We'll find him. Just give me a day or two. I'll get back to you with our findings."
Zeus snapped, impatient, and accidentally zapped one of his assistants with a loose thunderbolt. He took a few cleansing breaths to regain his calm before he continued. "A day or two? Will he even remember who he is after 2 days in Tartarus? We're all going to find out, aren't we?" Hades thought, containing his smile under an appropriately concerned demeanor. "Have faith, brother, and take strength in the knowledge my nephew is courageous and strong. The monsters of Tartarus are nothing to him. Sisyphus is there, a testimony of his mighty will and command. We're all family here." If Ares was glib about Hades's prison, it wouldn't hurt for him to be reacquainted with all the hard-lifers he had helped put in there, with or without good cause, all of whom had not forgotten they owed him literally the worst fate in the world. For all his cunning, Sisyphus had not been able to escape death a third time, and was now doomed to push his boulder uphill for all eternity. He didn't have a good motivation to continue doing that, except for avoiding the wrath of the Erinyes, and sometimes he just let it slip backwards to the bottom of the hill, without looking if anything was in its path. Zeus relented, not seeing any benefit in pressing the issue, and left, dissatisfied, with his delegation trailing behind him, as Persephone got out from behind the door to find out what happened. "Don't look so pleased, wife.
It was an accident. I'm sure it was, my love. Where is Yardeus? We didn't have time to bring him through the back door. He's still in the Asphodel Meadows. Although I have to say the poor thing looks so out of it, I'm afraid you wasted a favor, Persephone. He doesn't seem to remember anything anymore. Well, at least he's not in Tartarus. How did you persuade Typhon to pull this prank? Hecate promised him treats. So, what are you going to do now? Why, look for our lost nephew, of course. It's urgent. Say, did you have breakfast? I'd like to join you for that before I start our search. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. A large group of attendants filled the loggia that was overlooking Persephone's gardens to set the table for a lavish meal, which the two enjoyed together, while various underlings kept bringing word from Tartarus about the status of the search. So, where is he now? Persephone asked, sipping her nectar. Oh, I have no idea, Hades responded, absent-minded. You truly don't know where he is? Persephone's eyes widened with surprise. I told you, it was an accident, Hades responded. Typhon will release him when he tires of his new toy. You know how easily distracted he is. We'll retrieve him in a day or two. Don't worry, love, he's a god. What could happen to him? Oh, I wasn't worried, Persephone finished her nectar. Well, it was so nice we could have a lovely breakfast together, but sadly, the affairs of the kingdom can't wait. Do you have any plans for today? We should go on a trip to the Isles of the Blessed sometime soon. It's been too long. 2 days passed, during which Persephone tended to her gardens, oversaw the production of medicinal salves and poultices in Asclepius' apothecary and conferred with Hecate on proper ritual, while Hades devoted himself to some thorny administrative tasks which had been on the back burner for some time now. With the help of the Muses, the goddess reorganized her musical instrument collection and created an alphabetized catalogue of her paintings, dusted up the scrolls in the poetry archives and researched the medicinal properties for a few healing plants she'd been studying for some time. A new batch of souls arrived, all in need of oblivion and placing, a laborious task which demanded all her attention for a while, and after they'd been all attended to and settled in their new homes, she checked Dionysus's list, for the 2,000 souls she had promised him. At the end of this time interval, Zeus returned with all his court, to retrieve a rather tenderized Ares whom the Erinyes had just managed to find. The Olympian frowned at Hades, with silent ire which the latter chose to ignore. See, brother? I told you there was no reason for you to worry. There, safe and sound, and enriched by the unique experience. You know, Tartarus is off limits for anyone other than those who run it, not many beings, god or mortal, get to just visit. Usually when someone ends up there, it's meant to be more of a permanent accommodation. Zeus glossed over the veiled threat, relieved the god of war had been found, Hera would finally give him some peace, and the affairs of the mortal world could continue as planned. Persephone glared quietly, watching him leave with Ares in tow, cheered on by a group of faithful. Don't pout, wife, Hades turned to Persephone. If I know our Ares, he won't be able to help himself from accidentally wandering into Tartarus again, and next time he will be a lot harder to find. It's a big place, people don't appreciate that enough. Where are you going? He asked. I promised Hecate an afternoon out, just us girls, to chat and laugh and exchange recipes for salves. Would you send her my regards? Hades asked, smiling. I'll make sure to relay your best wishes. Truth is, Hecate had sent word from one of Persephone's mortal charges, who was adamant the goddess of the dead should meet her at the Gate of Shades and refused to leave until the latter agreed to see her. The request was very short notice, and Persephone didn't have time to change, so she negotiated her way across the marshes with great care, jumping from boulder to boulder with the agility of a mountain goat, careful not to smear her sandals in the mucky swamp. She wrapped her dark hood around her body, so it covered her face and hair, very careful to keep out of the sight of the restless dead who roamed the banks of the Acheron and Hecate's dark forest, and rushed with the lightness and speed of a ghost until she reached the edges of the river Styx. These sorts of meetings were strongly discouraged, because they always involved the currying of favors and got some immortal or another's undergarments up in a bunch, but Persephone couldn't refuse her mentor, especially not after her invaluable help. Charon, the keeper of secrets, was waiting for her at the water's edge to cross her over to the land of the living. He bowed to his mistress, without question, and brought her safely across the Styx, where a young woman was waiting.